words, which has nothing to do with what people ate, but rather a gathering of the Catholic Church at that time, which declared that Martin Luther was a heretic and an outlaw, making what we continue to do today illegal. But we Reformed people have continued to gather week after week to celebrate God from a biblical perspective and from our own growing understanding. We gather this day, then, to celebrate Reformation. Join me.
From the
3:17. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husband. sent me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Now I can't read the beginning of Ruth without reading the last five verses in chapter 4. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Haran. Hezron, the father of Ram. And Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David.
Thank you.
teachers of the law came and heard them debate. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself, is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Amen. The Bible speaks a lot about love. It's one of those words that appears quite often, especially in the New Testament. In today's passage in Mark, it appears in the man's question about the most important or the greatest commandment. It is to love God, neighbor, and self. "It is the most important," Jesus said, "but it is the hardest." How do we do it? What is love? Love, as the song said, is a many splendid thing, but it is also very complicated. We know that in the New Testament, the Greeks had five different words to describe love so that the hearer had some idea what they were talking about. I've always been fascinated by language and syntax, the construction of words. When I was in high school, I took 4 years of Latin. I don't even think they teach it anymore, but it got me a 720 on my college boards. We won't talk about the math skills. When I was in college, my last 2 years, I had 4 semesters of Greek so that I could be prepared when I went off to seminary. And when I got to seminary, I needed to be prepared because I had to study Hebrew. And of all the ancient languages, Hebrew was one of the most difficult. Not because we write the words from left to right and then read them from right to left, but because the Hebrew mind was different from the Greek or Roman mind that spoke Latin or Greek. The Hebrew mind was not interested in abstractions, things that had to be imagined or thought about. Hebrew was a language that dealt in the concrete, in the things that you could touch and see. Yes, they had a word for love, but it was the same root word, trust, that they used for love and faith and hope. So faith, hope, and love were one word in Hebrew, but its basis was trust. Trust. at then what that passage. It's about a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. It's not about a husband and wife. The word love doesn't appear anywhere in Ruth. It's the story of this woman's devotion and loyalty to her mother-in-law. It's about a commitment. And I guess at that point it's very appropriate for a wedding. Because from my observation over the years, love today is more about feelings. It's an emotion, a strong feeling. It's a state. You know, we try to tell our kids when you fall in love, there's bells and whistles and angels and what's that all about? We struggle to make content for that word. The Amish have a saying, maybe you've heard it or seen it in a plaque. They say, kissing don't last, cooking do. Kissing don't last, cooking do. Well, to be honest, you know, kissing can last, but cooking is always there. The everyday part of life is always with us. But no couple that stands before God's vicar or makes a promise before a judge or a justice of the peace or anybody that they will always love one another is not saying they're always going to feel the same way about one another. And if you've been married for any length of time or any number of times, you know that feelings come and go. They change. Kristen and Ian were not promising a month ago that they will always feel that way about one another. It will change. It will be weaker or stronger or closer or further away. You've been there. You see, love isn't something that is only about feelings. It's about something that we do. It's a commitment. It's like Ruth, when she promised to be there for her mother-in-law. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. You know, we kind of moderated that last one a little bit. We say, till death do us part. But it's still a lifetime commitment. It's not about feeling the same for a lifetime, but about being there for a lifetime. It saddened me several years ago when I saw on Good Morning America that a lot of young people today were engaging in what's called a trial marriage or a practice marriage. They were saying, oh, if it only lasts a few years, at least I have a better idea of what I'm getting into the next time. But yet in my own experience, I've had people that must have had their fingers crossed, people who must have been thinking to themselves, well, as long as our love shall last, as long as I feel this way about you and you feel this way about me, we'll be together. But if something happens or something changes, sayonara. It's not easy. relationship to God and your neighbors, and even to yourself. We promise to be there for one another in plenty and in want, in joy and in sorrow, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. That's pretty serious talk. It's nothing that can be trial size for practice. Love, the Bible says, is the greatest commandment, the most important one, but it is also the hardest one. For almost three quarters of a century, I've been trying to figure out just how to love God and my neighbors and myself and my wife and my children and grandchildren and now great-grandchildren. What does it mean to be there for others? How can we be there for God? Well, we continue together as God's people. We continue to study God's Word. We continue to pray. It amazes me that some people think they can love God without talking to God. Prayer is one of the most important things that we do. In what other relationship do we not talk to one another? Unless we're mad at one another. And then we say stupid things. We talk to God, we study God's Word, we seek an understanding. We seek to understand what it means to love our neighbors today. That's always changing in this world. Pope was right. All things change, whether we like it or not. And we change somewhat reluctantly with them. He doesn't say reluctantly, but that's been my life, kicking and screaming. I don't want to go, but it's changing. I'm changing, the world is changing. And I want to be there for my God, for my neighbors, for myself, for family and friends, and people I don't even know. Love. It's a very complex thing. It's a word that's difficult to describe. The Hebrews didn't delve so much in those abstract words that we can't feel, touch, and see. But the story of Ruth is there. Some people wonder, why is it there? Why did those that sat down to decide what was worth reading from God chose this little story about a woman and her mother-in-law? That's why I read those last five verses, because it parallels Matthew 1:5. I know most of us don't read the genealogies of Matthew and Luke. It's a little boring, especially if you're in the King James, where begats and begets, and all these words are there that we don't even use anymore. What does it all mean? In that list, Ruth and Boaz are the parents of Jesse. Jesse is the parent of King David, in whose we see, isn't it? To be part of God's family, to feel loved by God, and that love isn't just a feeling, it's a commitment that we made when we said yes to Jesus Christ. That our lives would be different because of Him. Our relationship to God, our relationship to our neighbors, to ourselves. God made that first move for us, that commitment. And like Ruth, if we can respond with the same devotion and loyalty, that's love.